Lord, helping us. Hallelujah. Amen. Why don't you look in the book of 1 Thessalonians with me tonight? Praise the Lord. You believe the Lord is coming back, right? Hallelujah. I believe he's coming back again, just like he said. I believe the coming of the Lord is soon. Amen. And I believe we should be expecting, we should be ready. Amen. Praise God. And the book of 1 Thessalonians is where we'll look first of all tonight. I've got a few different places that I want you to turn to and read with me. But we'll start there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and read a few verses to you, all right? Then we're going to flip back to the book of Revelation and read a little bit there. And Lord help us. Amen. The Lord is coming back for a church that's ready.
Amen.
It's coming back for people that's ready. Hallelujah. And the Bible says he's going to come with a shout, right? With the trumpet, with the voice of the archangel. Hallelujah. He's going to come. Hallelujah. Some people say, well, maybe is all the world going to hear a trumpet? Is just the Christians going to hear a trumpet? I tell you, when I believe when the Lord comes, man, there's people's going to know something happened. They're going to know something happened, not just millions of people missing, possibly, but they'll know something has taken place. Got to be ready for the coming of the Lord. Man, the Lord's going to come. He's going to take his church. He's going to rapture the church. Man. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. Amen. He's coming back. He's coming back. You've got to be ready.
Amen.
Got to be ready. Got to be expecting. Got to be looking. Got to be living. Right?
Right?
Hallelujah. Praise God. The book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. It should be a comfort to us. It should be a comfort to know that the Lord is coming. Should be a comfortable thing to talk about.
Yes.
Should not be something that brings fear to your heart to talk about the coming of the Lord.
Right.
Should not be something that makes you tremble or give you anxiety or something about the coming of the Lord. Amen. But it should be something that is comfortable to us.
Yes.
Something that is exciting. Something that is uplifting and encouraging. Amen. It ought to make us get excited enough to shout hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. I believe the Lord is coming. I believe it's what we should be looking for right now. He could come at any moment. He could come at any day, any hour. There's nothing to prevent the coming of the Lord at this moment, at this time. He could come before we're out of this service tonight. He, the Lord, could return. Amen. I'll tell you, it will pay to be ready. It will pay to be ready, to be looking for the coming of the Lord. For after the Lord comes and he raptures the church, I know we live in a wicked world now. I know we live in a very wicked hour. But can you imagine what it will be like after the church is taken out of this world? Can you imagine when the righteous element of this world is gone from the face of this earth? What will this earth be like? Amen. When those that have kept themselves to God are taken from this earth. Amen. I'll tell you what, it's a frightening thing to think about. Amen. Some people have said, well, after the Lord comes, I'll give my life to the Lord. I'll serve him. Amen. You may not have that opportunity. Some have said, well, after the Lord comes, in the time of the tribulation, I'm not going to take the mark of the beast. I'm not going to take the number upon my hand or forehead. I'm not going to do that. And so therefore, I will survive and I'll be accepted and I'll be saved. Well, Let me tell you, I don't believe, and my personal opinion is there'll be very, very few, if any, saved after the rapture of the church, except for those in Israel. But the Gentile, man, I just don't feel like the Spirit of God's drawn away from the face of the earth. Amen. No more to draw and no more to woo mankind. Amen. If you're waiting for that, if you think that's where you're pinning your hope. Amen. I'll tell you what, you like to live dangerously, don't you? Amen. Because you may not ever have that opportunity to accept the Lord. Amen. But I want to talk to you about the church tonight. In verse 15, there was two words that stood out to me. Amen. To describe the church. Two words there that describe those that were raptured. Those that were taken away. Amen. It was the words alive and remain. Alive and remain. Hallelujah. Amen. Alive and remain. Well, I've looked at that word remain, and that word remain means to survive. Yes. To survive. And so I guess we could say, amen, those that are alive and survive. Right?
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Alive and survive. I think, amen, if there's one thing, amen, the church needs to be taken alive. There's too many dead churches already. Too many churches closing up the door. Too many churches already losing the power of God and the touch of God. Amen. I think the Lord is looking for a church that's alive. Amen. I know there's what the verse is saying there. Don't get too critical on me tonight. I know it's talking about those breathing. All right? Those breathing, those that's alive, and as opposed to those that are dead, right, in Christ. I understand. Amen, but I still believe that God is looking for a church that has life. Say, well, why do you feel that way? Let's look at the book of Revelation for a moment.
Yes.
Amen.
God.
Let me read to you a little bit here for the book of Revelation. And because I believe that he is looking for a church, amen, that is alive. Amen.
Yes.
Let me read to you chapter 2. Verse 2, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, how thou canst not bear them which are evil. Thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience. For in my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do thy first works, or else I will come unto you quickly, and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Drop down a little bit forward, down to verse 9. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, and you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. I missed the verse that I wanted you to read. Amen. Look at verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of paradise. And unto the angel of the church of Smyrna write these things, the first and last, which was dead and is alive.
Yes.
Amen. He's looking for a church that is alive, right?
Amen.
A church that is alive. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Look over to chapter 3 with me, if you would. Look at verse 7. And the angel of the church in Philadelphia write these things, saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say, they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight, amen, about a church that survives.
Amen.
A church that survives.
Oh, praise God.
When you read the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and chapters 3, you read, amen, that there is a seven churches. all of them representing a church age, if you would, and all of them having some positive things and some of them having negative things. Philadelphia, the Church of Philadelphia was a church, amen, that God found to be a lot of positive things about that church. It was a church that God was pleased with. It was a church that God had a plan for, and that God was going to use that church. Yes. Amen. And God, when we read about the Church of Philadelphia, he says a lot of good things about that church. Amen. I believe it was a church that survived to the end. Amen. The Lord said, "Behold, I come quickly. Let no man take thy crown." Yes. This is a church that's in the end, the last days. In the final moments, if you would, but it was still a church that was surviving. It was not a church that was dead. It was not a church that had given up. It was not a church that had compromised, but it was a church that was still alive and it was able to survive. Can I tell you, amen, we need a church that's alive. Amen, I'm not talking just breathing. But I'm talking about a church that is alive with the moving of the presence of God in our midst. Amen. We also need a church, amen, that's going to survive in these last days.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. See, Brother David, what's going to be so hard about that? What's going to be so hard about that? And as I look around at the world around us, I mean, the world is turning against the church, right? Amen. It is not a pleasant place for the church any longer. No. They do not just cater to the church anymore. No. If anything, I feel like that we're living in an age where the world is becoming antagonistic towards Christianity,
right,
and the church.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. We're living in a wicked hour.
Yeah.
We're living in an hour when everything that we stand for and everything that we believe in is being challenged, is being tested. Amen. Things that we know that go against the word of God being pushed upon the church to be accepted, to be forced upon us, to be accepted. Amen. Even our current administration forcing things upon churches that they do not believe and they do not stand for. We're living in that wicked hour. We're living in that hour. And I say, amen, church, amen, we've got to be a church that survives in the midst of a wicked hour. The easy thing for us to do is just curl up and give up and forget about it. Amen, that's the easy thing to do. And there's churches that are closing their doors every day. There's churches that are giving up, churches that's compromising, and churches that's giving in to the pressure that is mounting against them. Amen, but I hope that we can be a church, amen, that will stand in the last days. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to be a church like the Church of Philadelphia. Man, I know Satan, he'd like to come in. He likes to come in and create division in a church. He likes for us to focus more on one another's faults, amen, than what we focus on the faults of the world or the faults of Satan. Amen. He would like for us, amen, to start tearing ourselves apart from the inside out, amen, one family at a time, and to start destroying us that way instead of looking to the world and trying to win the lost one family at a time. Amen. He would like to bring destruction in the church, amen, by creating bitterness and doubt and frustrations and anger and all that type of stuff. Amen. But I know the devil is fighting, but I want to be a church that survives in the last days. Amen. When I read about the Church of Philadelphia, when I read about this church, there's a few things that stand out that I wanted you to notice with me, all right? First of all, amen, this church, amen, it had the survival of its doctrine. Amen. He said, "I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. No man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength, hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name." Can I tell you, amen, this is a church that held to their doctrine. They held to what they believed. Even though everybody else compromised and left it, they held to what they believed. Amen. That's what helps a church to survive. Amen. Is to hold to your doctrine. When you give up on your doctrine, amen, let me tell you, you are a sinking ship. When you give up on what you believe, on what the Bible teaches, amen, you are a church that is doomed. You will not survive. Amen. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe He died on a cross. Amen. And shed His blood. Amen. That the whole world might be saved. And I believe it's through Jesus Christ. Amen. And Jesus Christ only. Amen. That we find our salvation in Jesus Christ. Amen. I know the world don't like that. And they don't like to hear that. And there's many churches that are saying, well, amen, there's a lot of roads that lead to heaven. I want you to know there's only one road that leads to heaven. It's Jesus Christ. Amen. Our doctrine has to survive. Man, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe on what He did on the cross, and I believe that's the only way to salvation. Amen. I believe there's a heaven for the saints. I believe that it's the reward of those that give their life to God. Amen. I believe that God is preparing a place for the church. Don't you? I believe that. But as much as I believe in heaven, I believe that there is a hell, a place of torment, a place of judgment. Amen. That all those that do not believe and those that do not live godly, amen, will be cast into a lake of fire. Amen. And they will be punished for their sins. I believe in hell. Amen. But we're living in a day where people, amen, don't want to believe in hell. Don't want to believe in hell. The name of the pastor in Minnesota slips my mind right now. Amen, but he wrote a book, amen, and came out and said that, you know, that God is a loving God and He wouldn't send anybody to hell. And when we start compromising our doctrine, when we start compromising what we believe and are watering down our faith, amen, I'll tell you what, church, we are in deep trouble in these last days. But we're looking at a church world that will not survive because their doctrine does not survive. Amen. I believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Praise God. I believe it is the third person of the Godhead. I believe in the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And I believe in speaking in other tongues. Hallelujah. Amen. 4 years ago when our vice president, a nominee, Sarah Palin, okay, when she was running for vice president, it came out that she was Assembly of God. The first thing they wanted to know, do you speak in tongues? Have you spoken in tongues? Why did they ask that? They weren't asking to find out what her quality of spirituality was. Amen. They were looking for something to ridicule, something to make fun of. Amen. Something to make her look like a backwoods hillbilly or something. Amen. To make her look unqualified. Amen. To be the vice president of the United States. Let me tell you, if you're full of the Holy Ghost and you speak in other tongues, I believe you would be qualified. Amen. To be the vice president of the United States. Amen. But I believe in the infilling of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. We don't want to change our doctrine. Don't want to change what we believe. I believe in the Holy Ghost. Amen. I believe the children of God ought to live a sanctified life. I believe sanctification is the doctrine of the church. I believe when you get saved, you ought to live holy. Amen. You no longer do the things you used to do. You dress different. You walk different. You talk different. You act different. You don't go where you used to go. You don't wear what you used to wear. Amen. Now you're changed by the power of God. Amen. You live to the Lord. You've separated yourself to the Lord. And I believe that God expects that out of the church. Amen. Our doctrine has got to survive. If we're going to make it, if we're going to be alive and survive, amen, when the Lord arrives, amen, we've got to be living holy and we've got to have a doctrine intact. Amen, I don't believe God's coming for a church that's watered down. Don't believe that. Amen, I believe that God is coming. When I read about the church of Philadelphia, amen, I see that there's something else that survived. Amen, it was the survival of their power. Amen. The power of God in that church. Did you see what he said there? For thou hast a little strength, hast kept my word, hast not denied my name. Notice he said, thou hast a little strength. Amen. They hadn't lost it all. They hadn't lost it all, but they still had the power of God. They still had the power of God within them. Church, we've got to have his power. We've got to have Holy Ghost power. Hallelujah. If we don't have his power of the of God working in our church, amen, we will not survive. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. Some people say, you know what? You need to tone it down. People get too loud. Amen. People shouting, people rejoicing, people dancing. Amen. We need the power of God in our midst. There's already too many churches that are dead. Amen. But we need the power of God moving in our midst. We need the power of God working in the church. Amen. We need his power. How do we need power, Brother David? And I believe that we need the power of God to see souls saved. We need the power of God dealing with hearts. We need the power of God in order to make us a witness. We need the power of God to reach lost souls. Amen. Without the power of God, we can't help them. Amen. We need his power to bring deliverance to sinners. Amen. We need the power of God to see them set free from the things that have them bound. We need the power of God. Amen. We need God's power for us to see miracles and healings. Amen. To see God work in our midst and to do things in the church. We need God's power. We need his power. And sadly, we're living in a day when so many churches have given up on the power. Given up on it. Given up on it. So they've traded it off for something else that was less important. Man, but we need God's power in these last days. If a church is going to survive, it's not going to survive on the personality of the preacher. If church is going to survive, it's not going to survive on the quality of its talent that sings. If a church is going to survive, it's not going to survive, amen, on the number of people that attend. That's not what makes a church survive. But what will help a church to survive is the power of God. Amen. Oh God, let them feel your power. Let the church know the power of God again. Let the church realize, amen, that God's power is in this place. And there's enough power of God, amen, that he can do a work in this place, even tonight in our life. Amen. Oh, God, we need your power. Amen. If it's going to survive, amen, we need his power. Amen. Notice this. Amen. They said right here, thou hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. Hast not denied my name. What are they saying? Whose name is it? It's the name of Jesus. It's the name of Jesus. Man, if we're going to survive, amen, the deity of Christ has to survive in the church. Man, the deity of Christ. Christ Jesus. Amen. The Son of God. The sinless sacrifice of all the world. Amen. That when we lose Jesus, when we forget about Jesus, amen, we're doomed. Oh, but it's all about Jesus. Oh, it's all about his presence. It's all about what he did for us. It's all what he did on the cross. Amen. We've got to talk about Jesus. Oh, it's all about what he's done in my life. Amen. When Jesus survives in the church, I believe there's hope for that church. But when the church forgets about Jesus, when they go for weeks and weeks and the name of Jesus is never mentioned, never talked about, when you can go to church and they talk about current events, so they talk about, amen, all of the things going on in our world, amen, and in our life and in our family, but they never once talk about Jesus. Amen. That church is not going to survive. Amen. It's all about Jesus. It's all in Jesus. My sweet Jesus. Amen. It's in Jesus Christ. If the church is going to survive, amen, it survives on the basis of Jesus Christ and his lordship and his deity. If the church will lift up Jesus Christ, what did he say? If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Amen, we got to lift up Christ if we're going to survive. Amen, there's churches that's embarrassed of Jesus. They're embarrassed of the blood that he shed. They're ashamed to say the name of Jesus. They're ashamed to talk about Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I'm not afraid to talk about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. He told the church here, he says, I have set before thee an open door that no man can shut. Man, if a church is going to survive, it's got to reach outside of its walls. It's got to go through an open door. Amen. If you're going to survive, Bethel Chapel, it's not just because of holding and maintaining what you've got that we can hold on to the very end. But if you want to survive, you've got to go outside these walls, amen, and try to reach the lost and try to reach somebody for God. Amen. If we lose that, amen, we will not survive. Hallelujah. You've got to win somebody to Christ. Hallelujah. Over the past few weeks, we have seen a number of people come into our altars and pray. We saw a young man in our altar today, a young man that was very lost. Very lost. Maybe he didn't look like you wanted him to look. That's too bad, all right? But he was a young man that was lost as lost can be. I don't know how much he even understood about the service today. Amen. But oh, when he gets to an altar, amen, we've got to try to reach them for Christ. It's our opportunity to reach them for Christ. Listen, amen, you can have your own opinion about bus ministry. But let me tell you, we've got to reach the lost. We've got to do something outside these doors. Amen, when the children get saved and the children save mom and dad and bring them in. Amen, church, we'll survive. Amen, but we've got to reach the lost. Hallelujah. Is bus ministry expensive? Sure it is. Let me ask you, if we quit running the buses, we quit doing that because we can't find help, or we can't find anybody that's willing to take on that burden and do that, because people have gotten weary with it, given up on it. Man, if we do that, who's going to bring somebody into Bethel Chapel? Who's going to bring a soul in here? I haven't seen many of you packing out your pew with lost souls lately. Right? If we're going to reach the lost, amen, we need to keep pumping gas into those buses. Amen. Stay working for God. Amen. Praise God, Sister Cindy's bus. Amen. Girls was on that through her bus. It's been Dawn and Crystal and some of those others that, and then some of these young ladies that have been coming from that shelter. I'm telling you what, God, I believe God's going to do a work there. I believe he's going to do a work there. I know they're not perfect, surely not, but you know what? Amen. God's doing a work there. Amen. If you get tired of seeing souls pray in this altar, amen, let me tell you, we're in trouble. Amen. Oh, let me tell you. Amen. That's what it's all about. Sister Cindy, it's not how the number that's on your bus. Amen. It's about how many souls are getting saved. Amen. Praise God. If you only bring in two every Sunday and both of them get saved every Sunday, amen, you're accomplishing something for the kingdom. Amen. That's what it's all about. Amen. Let's reach the lost. Amen. That's what makes a church survive. Take advantage of the open door. Take advantage of the open door. Hallelujah. And read, if you got your Bible, you can continue to read with me. But he says, hallelujah. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say there are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thee and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Amen. Can I tell you, the church has to survive its testing. Its testing. The church will not cruise into heaven. But there are going to be trials that have to be faced, and we have to survive. Amen. I don't know, have you ever thought about, and maybe for the guy or somebody that's been in military, maybe you've had to do some kind of survival training, you know, where they drop you off somewhere and with nothing but a pocket knife and two matches, you know. They say, we'll see you next month. And they drop you off in the middle of nowhere, and it's freezing cold, and you've got to survive somehow, and you've got to make it. And when they come to pick you up, you know, you've built the city, you've got a high-rise building, you've built four houses, and you've got a grocery store and a mall down the road, and you know, you've built your own motorized vehicle all from your handy knife and all of that, you're just so successful at it. That's survival, right? Survival. Maybe that's what you, when you picture survival, that's what it's all about. And I would like sometime just to be dropped off at a lake in Canada sometime, amen, all by myself with about five other people, and fish and catch fish out of one of those lakes up there in Canada, and cook them on a fire. Somebody else cooked them. I would not know the first. I would not be able to do that. And hopefully I would like it so I could eat it. Right? Wouldn't that be fun? It would be so cool where you get your cell phone out every night and look at it and say, oh, no calls today. That'd be so awesome. Then maybe that's what your picture of survival is. How do you picture the church surviving? Because there is going to come a time of affliction for the church. There's times of testing for the church. You are going to be tested. Do you really believe what you believe? Do you really believe in the doctrines of the church? Do you really? Because you're going to be tested. You're going to be tested. Do you really believe in the Holy Ghost? Do you really believe in the power of God? Do you really believe in Jesus Christ? Do you truly believe that? Because you will be tested. There will be a time of trying upon each and every one of us. Do you believe that? If the church can survive the time of testing that lies ahead, I believe that we can be a church that survives. Hallelujah. And we think that it's not going to be quite like that. How are you going to survive? How can you survive? Oh, Brother David, I want to survive. Church, do you want to be a part of that church that survives in the last days? Amen, that church that knows what it is, amen, to survive. Fact is, if we were dropped off with our knife and two matches and said that they'd be back to get us in a short time and 2 months passed, do you know what would happen? Probably when they came to pick you up, you would be wore out. You'd be starving to death. You'd be suffering from malnutrition, hypothermia. You'd be suffering from all kinds of animal bites where you'd fought off coyotes and wolves and all those other kind of things. Amen. That had been attacking you. Ooh. Amen. All those types of things. Scary, isn't it? When they come to pick you up, you would be, I'm telling you what, you would look horrible. You'd be looking horrible. You'd be down. You'd be out there waving, please come and get me. please come and get me. You'd be waving a white cloth. You'd be doing anything so that they would not forget you or would not miss you. Right? Oh, get me out of here. And when the helicopter come overhead, you wouldn't wave it off and say, no, one more month. You would say, come on down, get me. Take me home. Take me to a buffet. You would be so anxious to see them. I tell you, the Lord is coming soon. We've got to survive just a little longer. And one day the Lord's going to come. Amen. The church may be battle-worn. The church may have suffered some injuries. Amen. But I believe that a church can survive. Amen. And I believe we can be ready for the coming of the Lord. And we can be expecting Him and say, oh Lord, here am I, Lord Jesus. Amen. I am ready. Amen. A church that survives. Amen. But can I tell you, a church that's going to survive has to be revived. That's right.
Amen. Praise God.
There is a need for a revival.
Yes, there is.
Amen. If we're going to be surviving in the last days. Hallelujah. Every once in a while, you're going to have to get back and say, Lord, I need revival. Lord, I need revival.
Hallelujah.
And there was a brother that got saved and some years ago, he was a good man, but I had seen his track record. He would just bottom out, and then he would give up, and he would go out of the church for a period of time. Amen, but I found that the thing that he needed most every once in a while was just a good revival. A good revival. Amen, and I just kind of made it my task that he was going to have revival, whether he wanted it or not. Amen. I was going to make sure that when I could see when he started into that slide, all right, it's time for us to revive. It's time. If he's going to make it, if he's going to survive, we're going to have to do something here. We're going to have a move of God. We're going to have a revival. We're going to have to do something. And let me tell you, he had come through. Amen. He would rise up. And as far as I know, he's still serving the Lord today. But can I tell you, church, every once in a while, we all need a good revival. Amen. If we're going to survive, amen, we need revival in our hearts again. Amen. We need a revival of our doctrine. We need a revival of the Holy Ghost. We need a revival of the power of God. We need a revival of Jesus Christ. We need a revival to see souls saved. Amen. We need a revival. Amen. That lifts us up. Hallelujah. If we're going to survive. Hallelujah. Stand with me if you would right now. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, where's the church? It's got to survive.
Praise God.
It's got to survive.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The Bible says when Jesus talking to one of the churches,
glory,
he
glory.
Says, thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead.
Right.
Thou hast a name that thou livest yes. and art dead.
Right.
Man, that's a church that's not alive.
No, that's right.
That's a church that is not alive.
Have your way, Jesus.
Then he goes on to say, strengthen those things which remain.
Yes.
Strengthen those things which have survived.
Oh, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord.
Those things that have survived, those are the things that we need to strengthen in our life. Church, there's some things that we need if we're going to survive. We're going to survive. Oh, let's get our focus on what it's going to take to survive. What it's going to take to make it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bow your head with me right now. Dear Jesus, God, I pray that you would help Bethel Chapel. God, help us. Lord, we need to be a church that can survive. Lord, help us to put our focus, God, on your coming, on your return. Lord, there's so many things that we get focused on that are so unimportant. Lord, help us to look at the coming of the Lord tonight. Lord, one moment after you have returned, so many things that we have focused on will not matter at all. One moment after the coming of the Lord, many things that we have put as top priority in our life will not matter at all. But God, the one thing that matters most, God, is that the church survives. That the church survives. That our doctrine survives. That the power of God survives. That the deity of Jesus Christ survives. That our outreach, that open door, God, if we want to survive, we've got to go out that open door. God, I pray, Lord, help us to survive our testing. But Lord God, help us have revival, a revival in each and every one of our hearts. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Church, I want us to come to the altar tonight. And not as a church that is, I want us to come and just ask God, Lord, revive me. Revive me, Lord God. Lord, for me to survive, I need to be revived. Lord, I need to be revived right now. Hallelujah. Would you come right now, church? Come with us.